Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the Sports Report, brought to you by sportsaudio.net. I'm Packer Dave. We got a great show on tap for you today. We'll talk with John Poulter, our professor of sports from Toronto, Ontario, about hockey later in the program. Steve Leventhal from Chicago visited Halas Hall this week, as he does every week. We'll talk about the Bears, where they're at. Fantasy football discussion later in the program with Mike Perlo from SRN Broadcasting. And coming up after this segment, Dion Miller from ABC 7 in Chicago, talking about the Packers and the Bears matchup this week. So good lineup here on the Sports Report. But let's look at the NFC North right now. Packers sitting at 7-6. They are on a three-game winning streak. Now they've got the Bears at Soldier Field in an early game on Sunday. It is going to be cold in the single digits with a wind chill factor, you know, somewhere between 20 and 30 below zero. Ah, that is cold. The Packers have the Bears this week, then Minnesota the following week, and wrap up the season with the Lions in Detroit. So it's all coming down to the wire. The Lions right now stand at 9-4. They've got a tough schedule. They've got the Giants this week in New York, then Dallas, and then the Packers in Detroit. So it could go any way. And then you've got the Vikings in the mix, too. So all very interesting as we get down to the wire here. James Starks will not be playing this week. He was in a car accident, and he is in concussion protocol. So he won't be playing for Green Bay. But Ty Montgomery has been their best running back as of late. And Christian Michael, the acquisition off waivers from the Seattle Seahawks, will also see more action with Starks out this week. But let's start with Green Bay here. Mike McCarthy talks about practicing in the cold and stopping running back Jordan Howard of the Bears. Here's Mike McCarthy.
You just want it cold. You want the football to be cold and handle the football. It's all about the football. It's just trying to get the temperatures as close as you can. When we go outside, hopefully we'll have some wind. It's really all about the football. I mean, the mental part of it, yes. I mean, that's part of it too. Is, you know, and the thing we emphasize is just the communication and so forth. But it's a practice environment. And we're going to get outside and do our team periods. But at the end of the day, the focus is on handling the ball. Jordan's a good player. I mean, just watch the tape. He doesn't waste any steps. He's decisive with his reads. He's very comfortable running the football in their offense. So he has good forward lean. He's a really good young running back.
Barkley compared to Eddie Lacy in a way. Do you see any similarities between those two?
Yeah, definitely. I think the running styles are similar. And I think you go back to, you know, the first thing I said is they don't waste steps. They're decisive. They get north and south, and they make good decisions. And both those guys have a similar running style that way.
Aaron Rodgers, one of the hottest quarterbacks in the NFL as of late. He's really lighting it up. Touchdowns and yards per game and quarterback rating. But in this cold weather, Aaron says you need to keep the liquids flowing, even in the cold. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
Some things that you forget about sometimes is you still got to hydrate in the cold, actually, even more. So that's a good reminder we've had the last couple of years with Adam, just trying to be smart about your fluid intake. But yeah, the conditions obviously affect the feel, the surface. So it's going to be important to get out there and make sure you have the right cleats on and make sure you're getting your body warmed up.
Just spend more time in the training room, make the day significantly longer from the time you have for film and meetings. And
Well, it gives you actually more time to watch film because you're in there doing rehab on your lower extremities, and you know, last week with the hamstring and this week with the calf, you get a little more extra time on the film. So you use your time as wisely as possible when you're at the stadium. But I'm here a lot anyway. So, you know, Wednesday's been a sleep-in day for a lot of guys the last couple of weeks. Bad time for an injury.
Oh, okay. Oh, riveting. Who gets these interviews? We got to talk to somebody. Let's get some more interesting stuff from Aaron Rodgers next time. All right. Anyway, Mason Crosby has got a kick in this cold weather, and that's not going to be easy. Here's Mason Crosby, kicker for the Packers.
I'll go out and hit balls outside. So it's just, all right, what does it feel like in the cold, all the situations? And like I said, these last couple weeks we've been outside in some, not 1 degree, but, it's been below freezing and, been able to hit some kicks and just, really kind of build into that. So, yeah, for me, it's all pregame. I just go out and pregame, make sure that I have the right cleats on my plant foot. Obviously the turf, I don't know what's going to be out there, but sometimes late in the year, it's a little rough. So, just make sure I have good plant and then go out there and trust it.
It sounds like somebody was getting a phone call in the locker room there. But, you know, the Packers are playing the Bears. So as far as kicking goes, even if it's cold, you could stick David Crosby in there. You know, and it's Christmas time, so you could... You can even have Bing Crosby kicking. Okay, a lot coming back on the show. Steve Leventhal was at Hallis Hall. We'll hear from John Fox, Matt Barkley, and more coming back. You are listening to the Sports Report brought to you by SportsAudio.net. Don't go anywhere. Lots of fun on the way.
A cozy fire can really set the mood, but don't let that mood turn sour. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll look at your choices for fireplace fuel right after this.
The kitchen is often the center of entertainment in the home, but it's also one of the main sources of pollutants. That's why it's important to ventilate your kitchen properly. Make sure to use your kitchen range hood every time you cook and to keep the hood on for at least 10 minutes after you've finished cooking. Many Barone range hoods feature an automatic delay timer, which can help you accomplish your ventilation hands-free. You can learn even more at Barone.com. Barone New Tone, bringing fresh ideas home.
Whether you're looking for supplemental heat or maybe a touch of romance to your evening, a roaring fire is definitely a great choice. But if you burn the wrong type of wood, your best intentions will quickly go up in smoke. When choosing wood for a fireplace, the key word is seasoned. That means, in the most basic sense, that you don't want to use firewood from a tree that you just cut down because there's still too much moisture in the logs. Softwood reaches good seasoning in 6 to 12 months, while hardwood takes a bit longer. Lumber scraps are also often used, but don't ever use lumber that's been pressure treated because it can release volatile chemicals into your rooms. Finally, always make sure to open the damper before lighting any fire to make sure the smoke goes outside where it belongs. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Hi there, this is Chris Berman from ESPN. Hey, Packer Dave, I know you know about the frozen tundra, but... about the rest of football, do a little boning up, eh?
I have been boning up, and what I've found is that the Bears have zero chance of beating the Packers at Soldier Field this week, even if it was 50 below. And talking about the Bears, fresh from Hallis Hall and the midweek interviews, we bring in from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago, Steve Leventhal. Steve, welcome to the Sports Report.
At your service, Packer Dave. Reporting for duty, sir.
Okay, Bears coming off a tough loss in Detroit. They had a chance. They were driving at the end for a game-tying field goal in Detroit. And a couple of penalties pushed them back. They had a fourth down. Matt Barkley puts it right on the receiver's shoulder, and he drops it, and the game's over. So they fall to 3-10.
But the kids, kids played hard.
I guess they did play hard. So you got to hook up with some of the folks in the locker room there. And, of course, we've got some audio from the Bears as they go into this game against Green Bay. But right now, Matt Barkley not looking too bad. And I know he went to USC, and you like that because your son went there and all of that. But just comment on Matt Barkley quickly, and then we'll get into these audio cuts.
Well, what I'm going to say, and I went on record back in September when they signed him to the practice squad. I said, just mark it here. There's a good chance that he could move up the depth chart. And I never thought he'd be starting and starting several games, but injuries do happen. So. But I saw him play back then. I probably saw about 10 games live when he was at USC. And one of the things that the coaches echo, especially, you know, as offensive coordinator, the guy's poised, poised under pressure. He doesn't get sacked a lot. He doesn't make too many stupid throws. I mean, most of the times the incompletions are because the guys just didn't catch the balls. The
other thing that's what happened last week. They had a shot, but at the end, couldn't pull in that fourth down, but go ahead.
Well, the other another important factor is Alshon Jeffrey returns for this weekend's game, so that's going to be a big deal.
Yes, and he is good. So, all right, let's hear from Coach John Fox. He says that the Green Bay team they're going to see on Sunday is a little different than the one they played up at Lambeau Field early in the year. Here's John Fox.
Yeah, I think you know, they had some injuries at running back. In our game there, they featured five wideouts many times. In fact, Ty Montgomery's been really kind of relegated to being a back. So really other than that, you know, a lot was being made of Aaron Rodgers at the time and even from their media. But we never saw any difference. You know, we know what he's capable of and what he can do. And now that they've run off three wins, I don't think they're talking about that quite as much now. Well, I think it helps when you have running backs. You know, I think they adjusted. They were in an adjustment stage. You know, they got some guys back. You know, actually, now they've got two fullbacks on the roster, where I think in our game, I'm not sure they had a back even on the roster. They might have had one, but I think they just got him that week. So, you know, they're healthier at that position now. Other than that, though, I think a couple of their DBs were out in the first game. You know, they've gotten them back. So I think, you know, really – you know, as much has been made of the offense, you know, I think their defense is probably the area that, you know, I think they're playing a little bit better.
Very true. Defense is where they have stepped up in recent games. But he shouldn't say Ty Montgomery's relegated to running back. He's had more of an impact on the team now than he ever has. And he also returns kicks. He's a decent receiver also. Once he gets his hands on the ball, he's tough to bring down. Let's move on to Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio commenting on Aaron Rodgers.
He's a complete quarterback. He's got a big arm. He's very accurate. He anticipates things well. He's got a quick release. And then you, on top of all the passing talent he has, he's the scrambling and the improvising and the quarterback running, you know, just makes it really a complete package. You know, he's so good and so confident, and he's played in one system his entire career. You know, he knows, and they know as coaches, how to adjust, and, you know, and they'll either just keep sawing wood at what they've been trying and do it a little better, or try go to another part of their playbook. But they play a lot of different personnel groups, and, you know, so they've got a lot of offense to prepare for. And when you're playing a quarterback that's been in that system for so long, none of it's backlogged to him.
All right, now let's hear from Bears quarterback Matt Barkley.
Yeah, it was good experience just seeing their personnel and what they bring down to down. And we're expecting a pretty similar game. We'll be ready for more. But I definitely have grown a lot since that game in my knowledge of the offense, my comfort level with running this offense and out of the huddle, getting plays out. So I think it'll be definitely a better finish than what I showed last time. It seems like they're playing harder than ever, really hungry, big playoff burst for them, and so a lot's at stake. And to us, you know, this is a big divisional matchup, and the rivalry is deep between these two teams, so we know that they're going to continue to play hard and bring that. Still playing a lot of nickel and dime to base personnel because they have the athletes to stop the run, so it'll be interesting, again, to see what they do against us, what they want to do to stop our run game and how it's been the last couple of weeks. But they have athletes and talent.
Okay, Steve. Now, Green Bay needs Detroit to lose a game along the way, and then they need to beat Detroit at the end of the year. And the Bears did pretty well last week, don't you think, against Detroit, especially in Detroit?
Oh, yeah. How hard were you rooting in that last drive for the Bears to take the lead again?
I hardly ever root for the Bears, but I was then. But now let's hear from Lions coach Jim Caldwell on wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. of the Giants and more on their offense. Here's Caldwell.
He's as fast as any of your face. He's got as good a hands as any of your face. He's as explosive as any that you'll face. He's as competitive as any that you'll face. But they also got some other guys. Shepard's playing extremely well, and you know Cruz has been good for a long time. So they have an elite quarterback. You know, a great guy, great player who can get the ball to him. So you know all of those things I think contribute to it. But he's pretty special.
Now let's hear from receiver Odell Beckham Jr. on the Lions. Here's wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr.
This is the most important game we've had all year. Just got to find ways to do better than we did last week and come out with a win.
This Lions defense is doing nicely as a group. What do you see in them?
I mean, I think this whole team is doing pretty nice. If I'm not mistaken, they're leading the division. And they're doing pretty good. So their defense has a lot of talent over there. They got some guys up front who are game wreckers. Just got to make sure we control what we control. I feel like the same way we've been doing all year. You know, you'll be tested. You'll go through trials, tribulations. You'll fail. You'll succeed. It's just a matter of staying in the moment, which is what we're doing right now.
And now we bring in from ABC Channel 7 in Chicago, reporter Dion Miller. Dion, how are you today?
I am wonderful. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. How about you, Steve?
Oh, I'm good. Let's see what she feels at the end of this segment. She might change her mind.
Yeah, all you needed in this fine holiday season was to hang with us for a few minutes, right?
Oh, it's the gift that keeps on giving, right?
You said it.
Yeah. They said that about us and a lot of other things that are undesirable. Anyway, Dion, we got the Bears and the Packers this week in Chicago.
Yeah.
This is very exciting for us Packer fans to be going down to Chicago. I would think there's going to be a lot of Green Bay fans there. What do you think?
I would venture to say that's a safe bet at this point because I'm not sure there would be any reason for Bears fans to sit in sub-zero temperatures for a game that they really have no logical reason to be winning. So it makes sense that it would be full of Packer fans, but you just never know, especially with the weather. We'll see what happens. But I wish there was more buzz on the Bears' end. I honestly do. I know that the rivalry is what it is, and everybody gets up for it to some degree. But it just feels different than it has in the past years. And I'm not sure if that's because there are so many new faces on the Bears that don't have a ton of history in this rivalry or what that reason is, other than, 3-10. There's just not a lot of buzz around the game like there usually is. And that kind of bums me out.
Well, you're right. You know, the Bears are 3-10. A lot of injuries this year. So their name players aren't going to be there. They've got a good running game, though, and a good running back. So that's one thing. They were close against the Lions last week. That last drive, they made too many mistakes, and a drop pass on fourth down, of course, cost them the drive extending. But they played the Lions hard, and that was in Detroit.
Yeah.
So I guess everybody's thinking there's no way Green Bay is going to lose this game. OK, they're on a playoff run. They need the game to stay in contention. And the Bears are 3-10. But I just wonder if this is kind of a trap game. You hear about those trap games. Is this a trap game, Dion?
What's funny is I woke up this morning thinking that the Bears are going to win this. I mean, which sounds, again, there's no logical reason for me to think this, but I just had this feeling that this would be a game that they would win. And I'm not sure if that's because they would, maybe it is that trap game that maybe the Packers wouldn't be looking at them in that same regard because of their record or because of the fact that Aaron Rodgers is not 100%. Now, yesterday, Akeem Hicks told us about a time when he played him earlier in his career and he had pulled his hamstring during the game, and next thing you knew, he's running in to the end zone for a touchdown. So you never put anything past him. We totally understand that. But at the same time, he's not 100%, and it's going to be so frigid, and there is so much on the line for Green Bay, and there's all that the Bears can do is spoil it. And maybe that is their motivating factor, that they pull this off in a time where they do trap them. I mean, that does make sense to me.
Well, Deion, that's kind of the way I look at this. In one sense, this is the Super Bowl. This is the playoff game for the Bears players, because there's nothing else to brag about. And while they might be 3-10, they're I don't know. I kind of jokingly said to one of the reporters on Wednesday, are they the best 3-10 team in the history of 3-10 teams? And, of course, I sort of got a strange look.
That'd be in the who cares category, Steve, the best 3-10 team. Try and respond to that, Deion, but don't take too long.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, no, I don't think they're the best 3-10 team in the history of 3-10 teams. However, let's look at the fact that they would, if they win this game against Green Bay, they would sweep division foes at home. I mean, they've beaten the Lions at home. They beat the Vikings at home. And this would definitely give them something to build on and something to feel good about in this final month of a dismal season that, let's face it, we're all just anxious to get to the other side of that, of January 1st, and be done with this and see what they can do to move forward. I think this would be very big for them because, you know, in the last 2 weeks, we've heard about frustration behind closed doors and is the coaching staff getting along? We've had number of big name players being suspended for PED use. Jay Cutler's got, I mean, it's been so much off the field drama, and I hope somebody's mad about it. I hope somebody up at House Hall is frustrated with where they're at, but feels like this could be a big deal. This means a lot to the McCaskey family. Beating the Packers means a lot to this organization. And if they're able to do that, I think it is a positive heading into the offseason.
Okay, well, this is a fun little journey into fantasy world, thinking the Bears might be the Packers this weekend. There's 4 minutes of our lives we're not going to get back on something that will never occur.
You're so right.
Deion Miller with us, ABC Channel 7 in Chicago. And, you know, real quickly on a side note, you know, you covered the Cubs all year. That must have been a lot of fun covering them leading up to the championship.
It was so much fun. And I mean, full disclosure, I love the game of baseball so, so much. And it was interesting to see especially during the World Series, to watch Terry Francona and Joe Maddon match wits and kind of play that chess game of subbing guys in and taking them out. I mean, I love that. To me, is so entertaining. And it was a really exciting time. It was a great time, obviously, to be in the city, and just kind of everybody kind of came out of the woodwork and the parade, and it was exhausting. I will admit that, but it was a lot of fun to be a part of and something I'll never forget. It was pretty cool.
All right. Well, congratulations to the Cubs. Now, back to the NFL. I want to look at a couple of key games here and get your thoughts on them, okay? One, Tampa Bay at Dallas. That's the Sunday night game now. The NFL and NBC flexed into that game. Tampa Bay at Dallas. Tampa Bay is on a 5-game winning streak, playing very well defensively. Yeah. Dallas coming off a tough loss in New York, where they only scored 7 points. So is this kind of the game where you see if Dallas really is Super Bowl material and if Dak Prescott really is that quarterback that can take him there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Dak Prescott did not look good in their last game out there. And you know, a lot of people instantly want to say, oh, bring back Tony Romo and let give him a chance. I don't think we're ready to quite say that. But at the same time, I want to see how this rookie bounces back from a poor performance against a very good team. I mean, you said it. Tampa is playing very, very well, especially defensively. And they've been a surprise here in the second half of the season. I think this is a huge game for Dak Prescott to prove where he's at and for to build that faith in that fan base that he can be this guy moving forward. And it wasn't just a couple of moments where he was outstanding, that he truly is the quarterback that they want for the future. And this is very big, very telling for him, a big growing up moment for him. I do like the Cowboys to win it, especially at home, but that's one I can't wait to watch.
Okay. Now let's look at another one here. The Lions at the New York Giants. And by the way, was that your phone, Steve, or mine? We're a communication center here, so we get a lot of important calls that come
Moi?
In. But we're on with Deion Miller, so we can't take any calls right now, okay?
Oh, gosh, please. At some point, you might want to talk to someone else.
Yeah, what if it's Packer Vern calling?
That might have been President Trump. He's looking to appoint me to his cabinet, Minister of Sports.
We in trouble.
I have no idea. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm loaded, Dion. I got.
Yeah, every Friday
dollars.
And Saturday he's loaded.
I guess that's the key to getting in the Trump administration. Got to have a lot of dinero. Detroit at the New York Giants. The Packers need the Giants to beat Detroit, or they need Dallas to do it the following week. But Detroit at New York. New York looks good. They're the only team that beat Dallas twice this year.
Yeah, no, they do look very good. And for the Lions to go on the road, I agree with you. I mean, the Bears played them very hard, and it, by all accounts, should have won that game. A better team would have. If Detroit opens that door, the Giants are a team that will take advantage of it. So we'll see what happens. Stafford says he's fine with the hand or the finger or whatever happened there. It'll be interesting to watch how they come through there too. I do think the Lions end up winning the game because they know that they have to, and I feel like that's their motivating factor. And to do this on the road and to be focused and do it, I think they win that game.
I think the Giants win because the Packers need them to.
Dave, before we let her go, can I just get your opinion? Because Dave knows where I stand. You know, I drink the USC Kool-Aid. How do you feel about Matt Barkley, what he's done so far, and what potentially
Steve,
might
why
have?
Do you do this to us on this show? Every damn week, you take us right off the train. We're talking about other games. We're done with the Bears. They're 3-10. Okay, Dion. Steve asked the question. If you could make this short, please. And then let's get back on track. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Dion.
A pit stop to discuss the Bears starting quarterback who, surprise, surprise, is Matt Barkley. I think he's done well. I honestly do. I don't know that he is the future. I don't think he's their starting quarterback moving forward, but he has certainly earned the right to come back for training camp and to be a part of this organization moving forward. I think he's proven he can be a solid backup. He can earn the trust of his teammates. I think that's the most telling thing that I've heard over the last couple of weeks is how his teammates have responded, how maturely he's handled guys dropping passes that have been right on the money. I mean, just watching him almost grow up and evolve in front of us, I think he's handled it really well. Plus, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's one of those that you want to have in the locker room, but he's not the starter for the future. But I venture to say he'll stick around at least another season.
All right. Thank you,
Dion. And now,
Dion.
All aboard. Let's move forward.
Steve, you want to ask some other question maybe about soccer or tennis or something to really take us further off track? Or do we want to get back onto the important stuff?
Well, what about rugby and the world? Just kidding.
Okay. Just step aside. Step aside for a minute until we're done here, Steve. Okay. One other important game in the NFL, New England at Denver. Of course, Denver bouncing New England from the playoffs last year. Now this is in Denver, and Tom Brady's looking as good as ever, while the Broncos stumbled last week in Tennessee. So New England at Denver. I don't know. I like Denver at home in this just because of their defense. But what about you?
No, it's Tom Brady. It's the time of the year where they're gearing up. He's been so good all season. He I love the fight that he shows, the frustration even that he showed with Julian Edelman. I think that it's good to see him that fired up. I like it. But I don't like the Patriots at all, if that makes sense. I like to see him fired up. I like to see them do what they do, but I wish they would lose every time they take the field. That won't happen this week. They're going to win again. This is just how they prepare. It's Bill Belichick. He knows that it's a big game, and Tom knows it's a big game. Patriots win easily. And that was roundabout. I'm sorry. I'm exhausted this morning. So yeah. I'm sorry that my answer wasn't very clear. But, yeah.
Well, if you like teams that lose every time they take the field, Dion, you are covering the right one in Chicago. I got to tell you that. Okay,
no,
so Dion and I disagree on the Lions and the Giants, and we disagree on the Patriots and the Broncos. I'm taking the Broncos there.
Yeah.
I don't think they lose at home with that defense, but who knows? We'll see how this all plays out. Dion Miller, ABC 7 in Chicago, thanks very much for coming on the show. And maybe we have you back again when the Packers are progressing in the playoffs, when they're like deep into January. What do you think?
I mean, I'm game to come back anytime. You guys are truly wonderful to talk to. So, yes, I am game to come back.
You just mean me, right? You're not including Steve too? Steve too? Really?
Speak for yourself.
Well, unless he's going to ask me about rugby, in which case I'll pass.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dion. It's been wonderful. Have a good day. We're not talking. Just kidding. We'll talk rugby later in the show. Okay, Dion, have a great day. Thanks for coming on. We'll do it again a few weeks down the line, okay?
You guys are the best. Thank you.
All right, and we'll be back with more. You're listening to the Sports Report, brought to you by sportsaudio.net. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal. Stick around on the show.
If you find yourself with one or more unused rooms in your house, think twice before closing the door. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll uncover the myths and the facts about closing off rooms in order to save energy right after this. Windows are a prime spot for energy loss, but you can add a barrier against the winter chill by installing Duck Brand roll-on window kits. Designed with ease in mind, roll-on window kits come with a pre-taped edge for easy application, require no measuring, and fit the window frame for an airtight seal. Also look for Duck Brand's heavy-duty window kits. They're 2 times thicker and more puncture-resistant than standard window kits. Keep warm and save with Duck Brand. Find Duck Brand weatherization products at duckbrand.com. It's not uncommon for people who have an unused room in their home to close off the air vents and shut the door in an effort to conserve energy. It's only natural to think that by eliminating an area to be heated or cooled, you will save money. But the truth of the matter is that in many cases, you'll do more harm than good. Central heating and air systems today are balanced for the homes they service. By shutting off one or more rooms, you throw the system out of balance, causing the unit to cycle on and off more frequently, which costs you more money. So keep the balance in your home and in your heating and cooling system. Keep those doors and vents wide open. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense, but the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
You gotta be kidding me. Some guy named Packer Dave is on the air in Chicago, in bear country. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm Brent Musburger, and I'm not doing anything for some guy named Packer Dave in Chicago. Get a life.
You're looking live at the SRN Broadcasting Studios. Remember when Brent Musburger used to bring in all those NFL games, Steve, you know, on the NFL Today? You're looking live at Soldier Field. Well, it's going to be cold. I did not know it was going to be that cold in Chicago, but they're looking at 1 degrees. 1 degree? That's not even plural.
Hey, remember what Ira Tating used to say about those kinds of temperatures?
What? They're balls shrinking cold, Packer Dave. That's what he used to say. We can't say that on this show. Edit that. Okay, well, so we've had our football discussion. We'll have a little bit more with Steve and SRN Broadcasting's Mike Perlow later in this segment where they both talk fantasy football. That's like 9 minutes of Steve and his co-worker there at SRN.
Hard-hitting analysis, insight, game recommendations if you are play fantasy, daily fantasy sports. It's really geared for that. But, you know, it's not all about the money. We're not geeked out there, contrary to what you think.
I can hardly wait. I'm going to see what's on cable at that time. Or maybe I could surf the web.
Oxy White or the Popeil fishing rod? Come on, what do you want to do? Dr. Phil?
I'll watch either of those rather than endure 9 minutes of you guys.
Jeopardy?
But, I'm just setting it up for you, Steve. The audience has got to be thrilled. You know, 9 minutes of Steve Leventhal and Mike Perlow talking fantasy football.
Yeah, but nine minutes of no Packer Dave.
I'm sure you can't wait for that. All right, now let's go to Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Our professor of sports, we bring him in. His name is John Poulter. John, welcome to the show today.
Morning, guys. Nice to chat with you. Thanks for having me on, and hope everything's good with the two of you.
How about you, Steve? I'm okay.
Hey, I'm going to Vegas this weekend. We're going to see some college hoops and maybe cash in a couple of chits that I won in soccer, by the way, but that's about for those who care.
You had to get that in, didn't you?
Well, because we're not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about hockey today.
Steve is a wild man going to Vegas, John. He's crazy out there.
I hope the city is ready for him.
Yeah. Okay, well, we got a lot of things going on in hockey. And right now, the Philadelphia Flyers are the hot team, winners of 10 in a row. We'll get into the Toronto Maple Leafs also. Not having a bad season, but the Flyers, 10 in a row, John. What's going on in Philadelphia?
Good question. You know, when you look at the standings, you see some very familiar names at the top, Philadelphia being in the Eastern Conference. So let's take a look at that first. And you see Pittsburgh, the Rangers, and Montreal, 1-2-3. And then your Philadelphia Flyers sitting in there in fourth place, winning 10 in a row. Couple of those games have been a little close, and they've needed overtime and or a shootout to win. To my mind, they're one of the surprise teams in the league. And, you know, you look at the standings and across the entire league, there's a number of surprises. I guess the Columbus Blue Jackets would be another one. And, you know, then there's a couple of surprises at the other end that are more shocks than they are surprises because they're at the bottom end of the table. But Philadelphia seems to have done a pretty good job in rebuilding that rather quickly. And for many years, Philadelphia is, of course, one of the more wealthy teams in the league, bankrolled by the late Ed Snyder. And for some reason or other, they have never spent their money wisely, and they've never had good goaltending. And I've always found that rather odd because Bobby Clark has been involved with the Flyers in an executive role on and off several times since he retired a number of years ago. And Bobby Clark, more than anybody, should realize that you need good goaltending to win, because the two Stanley Cups that the Flyers won with Bobby Clark as their kingpin and centerman had Bernie Parent in net. And you'd think that a guy that played with a goalie like Parent would recognize the value of a good goaltender and go out and get one. But, you know, they've had a number of guys in there in the last few years, and they've just struggled big time. So I think it's a combination of things. They've been patient. They haven't gone out and spent a lot of money on has-been superstars. They've spent their money developing players. And clearly in a salary cap world, that's very much the way to go.
All right, John. Now, your Toronto Maple Leafs against the Phoenix Coyotes. What happened there?
The usual story, Dave, with the Leafs. They go out and they play 50 minutes of good hockey, and then they give it up in the last 10 minutes of the game. And they are not playing well in overtime, and they're not playing well in shootouts. I believe they're 0-6 in shootouts. They've lost their last two games by way of shootouts. And I was at the game on Tuesday night against the San Jose Sharks. They were clearly the better team all night. They were up 2-0 with 7 minutes to play. And the next thing you know, San Jose gets a goal with 7 minutes to play. They get another one with 5 minutes to play, and they win it in a shootout. I guess it's the sign of a young team, and we see it in every sport, but specifically in hockey, we see it a lot, and that is it takes time for a team to gel, and they've got to learn how to win. And clearly the Leafs are doing the right thing in the way that they're building this thing. They're not they're sort of taking that Philadelphia route. I guess the better example would be the Chicago route. If we go back to the Blackhawks of the early 2000s, they were a horrible team, and they decided to draft wisely, develop wisely, sign their young players to long-term contracts, build from the back end out. And I think that's basically what Toronto is trying to do. I think Chicago has proven to be a very good model for teams that are looking to rebuild. For many years, Toronto took the New York Yankee approach, and that was go out and sign a guy that had a big name and was probably on the downside of his career. Now they're doing it the other way around. And, of course, they've got a very capable, competent coach and well-respected coach in Mike Babcock. And, you know, the coach can actually take some losing without fearing for his job, that if he loses, he's going to be out the door. Because when you're paying the money that they're paying to Babcock, he's making more than most of the players. That's very unusual in today's sporting empire. So I think that's probably a factor too. But clearly they've got some good players. Austin Matthews, born and raised in the Phoenix area, Scottsdale, I believe, is home. probably the best young player that came out of last year, and Mitch Marner is playing really, really well. It's a good team, but it's 2 or 3 years away. We're certainly not ready to start planning any Stanley Cup parades yet.
And the Maple Leafs drop to the my Phoenix Coyotes. I don't care about the Flyers. They're just hot right now. So they're not my Flyers, but the Coyotes are my team. And I catch them, once or twice a year out there. I spent about 5 months in Phoenix, and you're coming out there in April for a couple of weeks. So we'll go
first,
to the
first 3 weeks of April.
All right. So we'll be seeing the Diamond. Steve, are you good? We're going to go see the Diamondback. Steve, are you coming out to visit your mother this year or not?
I'm sure that can be arranged. Dave, who's your favorite player in the NHL right now?
I am not the NHL expert, but I would say Shane Doan. It would be mine. Okay. I'm not the expert. John is. Now, John, let's move on to the Blackhawks, closer to home in Chicago. 32-20 and leaders in the Central. So they're looking good again this year.
Yeah, that's been a nice turnaround for the Blackhawks. The last couple of years, they haven't played as well as they should have done. Of course, they go through this constant turnover because they're constantly at the salary cap, and they always find themselves having to lose a couple of good players because of contract issues. But that whole Western Conference and that whole Central Division is pretty tight. If you look at it on Friday morning as we chat about this, you've got the Blackhawks with 44 points from 32 games, and you've got Minnesota with 38 from 29, and St. Louis with 38 from 31, and then San Jose, the leader of the Pacific Division, are in fourth place in that Western Conference with 37 points from 30 games. And you know, you do the quick math, and you know, granted, Minnesota has to win those games to pull even, but in terms of the losses, they're even at 8. So the difference is just in the extra 3 games that the Blackhawks have played. But from a Blackhawk perspective, the nice thing is that they've done a lot of this winning without a couple of their better players, including Crawford and Taves, and Seabrook has been out for 2 or 3 games in the last week. So it's nice to see the Blackhawks spreading it around and guys stepping up. And once again, Stan Bowman and his crew have done a very, very good job in terms of replacing guys that they couldn't afford to keep for financial reasons. And once again, we're seeing some pretty good hockey down at the United Center.
Yeah, Dave, the Blackhawks starting goalie had to emergency appendectomy, and the number two guy has stepped in very nicely.
He's played very well. A couple of games I've seen that they have lost, I've seen a number of their games, but two specifically that I saw them lose. The Winnipeg one comes to mind, a Sunday night game a couple of weeks ago. Darling was certainly not at fault that night. He's played very, very well. I shouldn't say he's come out of nowhere. He started to play quite well last year in a backup role. And I think the Hawks are very fortunate that they have a second-string goalie that's as good as he is. But I understand that Crawford's about ready to come back and resume that number one spot. And, you know, it's nice to know that in Darling they've got a guy that can take over if something else should happen to Crawford.
Okay, well, Packer Dave here along with Steve Leventhal in Chicago. You're listening to the Sports Report, brought to you by sportsaudio.net. We're joined by the professor of sports on our program here, John Poulter out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. All right, it's Open Forum USA, John. Anything you want to talk about on hockey, finally, here on your segment?
Well, I think I guess the comment that came across my email this week from a friend of mine in Oxford, Nova Scotia, was that clearly the NHL has not done anything in terms of curbing the violence issue. And this sort of came to mind with a nasty, nasty spear from Mark Edward Vlasic of the San Jose Sharks on Eric Karlsson of the Senators on Wednesday night. It was a play in the corner. It's hard to tell exactly what started it, but clearly what ended it was a nasty spear from Vlasic to Karlsson's midsection. For some reason or other, I haven't seen anything in regards to a disciplinary hearing. I can't believe that he's going to get away with that. I've seen much worse penalties for much lesser infractions than that. Maybe something was said between the two, and that was revenge, but needless to say, we don't need that kind of stuff. The league has to start clamping down on that, and My friend in Nova Scotia said maybe it's time for the players to start launching legal action against some of these players, and that would be a great suggestion. The only negative I see to that is that these guys are all brothers of the same union, so they don't want to sort of start messing around, taking livelihoods away from their union brothers. But clearly somebody's going to get badly hurt if we don't resolve this issue. In that same game, Logan Couture got cross-checked in the back of the head by Mike Hoffman of the Ottawa Senators, and Hoffman has been suspended for that. Clearly a direct shot to the head. Not sure what started all that. I think it was a hit, but to me the hit looked pretty clean from Couture. So I don't really know where this is going, but I think it's something we have to resolve. We have to resolve it quicker. The players are bigger, faster. They're in better shape. They're in shape 12 months of the year. Their equipment is almost like armor now. It's just so light and so protective. Guys just think that that there's nothing can happen to them, and they throw their weight around without any respect for their opponents. And that, to me, has got to be one of the things that the NHL clearly has to address before somebody gets seriously hurt.
John Poulter from Toronto here on the Sports Report. John, thanks a lot. Always great information. Now, you are welcome to hang around for this next segment with Steve and Mike Perlow. You know this is all in good fun, Steve. I mean, you're getting an aggravated look on your face.
Oh, no, I was wondering if there's going to be a quiz on this at the end of the show, you know, on like the injury and the whole thing. No, I love it. It's great.
But,
you know, where
you
else
know,
could
I'm
it get?
I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, insinuating that they're dull or uninteresting or anything like that. So,
sure.
John, you are welcome to hang around for this segment unless you have something more important to do, like clip your toenails or wash the cat. Do you have a cat?
No, we don't.
You don't? You may want to get one.
Dave, how can we have a cat when you visit periodically and you're allergic to animal food?
I'll give you $50, Dave, if you can find a cat that will let you wash it.
You know, it's funny, John, because you say that, like, you know, you don't have a cat because you're considerate of me coming over and all that. I'm allergic. Steve has four cats. What does that tell you?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it tells you all you need to know.
I got one for every decade we've been working together.
Okay, well, we're going to save you some money on Somanex right now, John, and this will put you to sleep a lot faster. So here we have Steve Leventhal and SRN Broadcasting's Mike Perlow on fantasy football. Hang on, people. It's going to be like on the edge of your seat type discussion. Here we go.
All right, Mike, it's time once again to make our picks for Sunday Funday NFL Daily Fantasy, and we're kind of working off the FanDuel premise here. So what are the games that you're looking at this weekend?
Well, there's a couple that really jump out at me. If you're looking for some high-scoring offense, certainly Atlanta hosting San Francisco. San Francisco has got the worst defense. Their passing defense is atrocious. Their rushing defense is even worse. I like both Atlanta running backs. That's Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, along with Matt Ryan. Although I'll tell you, it's still questionable whether Julio Jones will be playing this week. So,
he's still recovering
from
that
Atlanta game. Yeah, Julio is. It could come down to a game time decision. He hasn't practiced yet this week,
and it's the late game, so you're not going to know if you have to get your picks in for the early games.
You got that right. Exactly. The other game that I kind of like, and maybe it's under the radar for some people, is Oakland at San Diego. I think the Raiders had a tough week last week, and I think Derek Carr is ready to bounce back. I also see Phillip Rivers airing it out often, especially with Melvin Gordon most likely not playing on Sunday.
And that's the second highest game. Oh, not second highest game on the board. Second highest game on the board is New Orleans at Arizona. Why is that game going to be a shootout, you think?
You know, it's interesting that Vegas put it there. I think David Johnson is the key to that game from a fantasy standpoint. Him against the New Orleans defense, I would expect that he can put up the numbers of a starting running back and a starting receiver combined into one body. So good value there for David Johnson. New Orleans has struggled on the road all year. And while Drew Brees will continue to get the pass attempts in there, What I'll tell you is that Patrick Peterson lining up at one of the corners, who's a complete shutdown, is basically cutting out half the field for Breeze. So really, I see most of the points coming from David Johnson.
All right. Another game that's up there, 50.5 over-under, is Washington. That's a 6.5-point favorite hosting Carolina in the Monday night game.
Yeah, Steve, you know how I feel about Kirk Cousins. I've been loving him as of late. I've got another man crush on him this week. Going up against what's been over the last month a very weak pass defense with the Panthers. The Panthers' run defense is respectable. Their pass defense, that's why they've been losing games lately. Absolutely, I think that could be exploited.
Now, Washington, but they spread the balls around, so there's not necessarily, you wouldn't necessarily fade a receiver in that game, right? You would just take the quarterback?
Yeah, I like Cousins. Oftentimes, I'll pair him up with Jordan Reed at tight end because he is a go-to tight end. He'll be back in the lineup this week, and I expect that he's going to be one of the top tight ends owned.
Now, one of the intriguing matchups, it may not necessarily be a fantasy standpoint, but is Tampa Bay at Dallas, because the Bucs have been hot, certainly with Jameis Winston, but they're running into a Dallas team that is, well, it's the best team in the NFC right now.
Absolutely. Not only the best team in the NFC, perhaps the best team in the entire league right now. Ezekiel Elliott, he's on cruise control right now. He's good for 85 yards and a score practically week in, week out. Oftentimes, he's hitting that century mark. Dez Bryant has really come on as of late, too. And Dak Prescott, he's just playing really clean ball. He's playing smart ball and leading that offense down the field. And, of course, having that offensive line really, really helps. On the other side, you've got Jameis Winston, and he has been targeting one man all year long, and that's Mike Evans. Especially since Vincent Jackson went down, Mike Evans gets the monster share of Jameis Winston's looks. I love hooking those two up as well in another stack, perhaps on the Tampa side of the ball, because Dallas secondary has been suspect as well as of late.
All right, so what are the fantasy implications of an intriguing matchup from my standpoint, which is Cleveland at Buffalo? Cleveland can't do anything right. And Buffalo, certainly McCoy has been running the ball up and down the field all season long.
Yeah, I love LeSean McCoy in this matchup. Cleveland, next to San Francisco, second worst rush defense in the league. Buffalo will be at home. They've got an incredible offensive line, especially from a run-blocking perspective. And they've shown they want to run the ball. They want to jam the ball down their opponent's throats. LeSean McCoy, if you've got him, you got to play him this week. Cleveland is a dream matchup. You've also got an interesting look at Tyrod Taylor, who is showing a good arm at times, and he's got Sammy Watkins back as a deep threat, but he also shows wheels, and Tyrod is that threat by ground as well as by air. I think he could really take advantage of the Browns' defense up in Buffalo on Sunday.
The only X factor in that one might be the weather, which is in anywhere on the lakesides. Cleveland's not playing, but Buffalo, Chicago for one, probably even Cincinnati is going to have some pretty iffy weather this weekend.
Yeah. It's supposed to be frigid. I hear it's one of the coldest games perhaps ever to have been played at Soldier Field. I hear even down in Kansas City, way down near the Mason-Dixon line, they're not going to get above 8 or 10 degrees all day. So we're expecting some cold weather across the entire Midwest, especially the Great Lakes, and that will impact it. We were talking a moment ago about the Bills and the Browns. Perhaps a good opportunity to look really hard at the Buffalo Bills defense, playing at home against a hapless Cleveland team that has RG3 back behind center.
Well, one of the defenses that I looked at this weekend, was the Houston defense, because they're hosting Jacksonville, which is, they're not quite hapless, but they're probably next to hapless in the road.
I think Blake Bortles is good for a pick six every other week or so. And it's a smart move, actually, Steve, to prey upon a quarterback like Blake Bortles, who's been struggling. You've got Houston at home. Houston's D showed amazing signs of life last week. Even after losing J.J. Watt earlier in the season, they really put the clamps on Indianapolis last week, and they're being impressive right now. Houston D, great call as well.
Well, and the last one we'll talk about, which, again, you alluded to it, is the Green Bay at Chicago. Is there anything you can get out of this game? Because, you know, Chicago, you never know what Chicago team's going to show up. It's Chicago. It's their Super Bowl. Green Bay needs this game to stay in the playoff hunt. And, of course, we're going to have, just as you said, frigid.
Yeah, and I think it was you that said something to the effect of Chicago can be tricky. They may be the most talented and one of the best 3-10 teams out there, right?
Yes, in the history of 3-10 teams. Although I said that in the Bears locker room to one of the reporters, and he kind of laughed at me. So I don't know how much validity that statement holds. But I mean, it should be very interesting, because you're going to have you got Aaron Rodgers, a great quarterback. Chicago, which has been banged up, but they've played some inspired football. They certainly gave Detroit all they could handle. And Matt Barkley, the biggest problem the Bears had was they couldn't stay on the field. Now you've got a quarterback who can at least keep his team on the field.
Absolutely. And frankly, that offense has looked better behind Matt Barkley than it did with Jay Cutler. He's not making the mistakes Jay Cutler made, and it seems like his team wants to play for him a little harder almost. Not including perhaps that 10-drop performance a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, what would I mine out of this game? Absolutely, Aaron Rodgers, especially given the fact, even though Chicago's defense has stepped up and Chicago is at home, Aaron Rodgers has no other options because they're out of running backs. James Starks is in concussion protocol right now, which means they may have to go back to Ty Montgomery, who's really a wide receiver wearing the number of a running back. They're going to be airing it out all day. And who's going to be the recipient? Well, it's usually a crapshoot between Cobb and Davante Adams. My money is on Jordy this week. I think Jordy is going to be his go-to guy. Jordy knows how to play in the frigid weather. And you know what? Jordy knows how to play well against the Bears.
That he does. All right, Mike. Well, thanks so much for your insight. And we'll tee it up again next week.
Later, man.
All right, Steve. Terrific job, you and Mike. And Steve, the bowl game's coming up this weekend for college.
Absolutely. UT San Antonio at New Mexico. Check it out. 1 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock Central time on Saturday the 17th.
Okay, can hardly. What are those teams again?
That's Texas San Antonio and the University of New Mexico in the New Mexico Bowl. What about the Vegas Bowl? Houston is at San Diego State.
Okay.
Riveting.
Well, how about I just don't watch much college ball. Spend too much time studying the NFL. Well,
the good stuff is coming up on New Year's Eve.
Of course. Well, we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Sports Report, brought to you by sportsaudio.net. Come back every week at this time, or check us out online at internetfm.com or kwwradio.com. So, for Steve Leventhal, for the professor of sports from Toronto, John Poulter, for Dion Miller from ABC7 in Chicago, for Mike Perlow from SRN Broadcasting, and Steve Leventhal in Chicago, I'm Packer Dave saying thanks a lot. Have a great week. Take care. We love you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Get the bears, scumbag!
Goodbye.
Tell you what, dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. Now you ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now, you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over.
Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
For many of us, the holidays include trips to see family and friends in other towns. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about keeping your home secure while you're gone right after this.
Concerned about grout staining? Worry no more. New Fusion Pro Single Component Grout from Custom Building Products is a revolutionary new grout with unsurpassed stain resistance built into the formulation. It resists common household stains, and it never needs to be sealed like standard grout. And unlike other stain-resistant grouts on the market, such as epoxy or urethane, Fusion Pro is easy to work with and clean. So no matter if you're tiling yourself or hiring a professional, ask for Fusion Pro Grout for a beautiful, long-lasting tile installation.
When you leave home, don't advertise to thieves that you're away. Burglars look for dark houses that stay that way, so use timers to make it look like you're at home. If you can, use several timers and program them to turn lights and radios on and off in different rooms at different times. Leave a car parked in the driveway and ask a neighbor to gather all your mail and newspapers or have delivery of them stopped altogether. If you use online networking sites like Facebook or Twitter, be careful that your posts don't tell the world that your house is vacant, and don't share too much information on your answering machine with a message like, "Hi, the Wilsons aren't home this weekend." Otherwise, your house might give you away while you're away. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.